Hello, and thanks for listening to Season 1 of the Southern Utah Real Estate Podcast with Jenny Chamberlain. For this set of podcasts, we're talking to a variety of people about affordable housing.
So today we're talking to April Gates. She is a prominent realtor.
Prominent.
Yes, in the Hurricane Valley area.
That means old, everyone. That means really
old. It means wise, experienced. I would say beautiful, but I care more about all your expertise and your other qualities are just as valuable to me.
It's very nice. Especially right beauty. Now. I just got a facial today, so I'm so glad this is a podcast and not a television station or something else. So, So do you want to know a little bit about me?
Tell me about yourself, to start out.
So Jenny knows I've been in the business a long time. So I have been a real estate agent for 20 years this October. So this is my 19th anniversary. So I'm starting my 20th year. But I like to say I'm in 20 years, right? So this is me starting my 20th year, starting this month. And I have been in the same office, in the same seat for those full 19 years. I've been with ERA this whole time. And that's because I met Thane Houston at my real estate school. And he was our substitute teacher. And as you know, he was our broker for a long, long time. And he died this last year. And that's been very hard to handle because, he was a great mentor and an amazing boss and a really good friend. So that's my real estate background. And
And I love that you have the front seat in the office. I'm glad that you've had it from the beginning because I think it could be something people fight, but no.
Oh,
it's because you're the queen of the office.
No, it is not someplace that anyone's supposed to sit. I actually just made myself at home there. I do have a beautiful office upstairs with a beautiful desk, and it's a corner office with windows. And I just hate to be out of the. I want to be where everyone is. With the people.
Yeah.
I feel so lonely when I go upstairs. If I want to get something actually really done, then I go upstairs to my office. But if I want to know what's happening in the town, then I sit downstairs and watch who's coming in and who's leaving. And anyway, that's my favorite seat.
That's great. Well, as you know, so this season we're talking about affordability because that's like a huge crucial issue. A lot of times when people talk about real estate, that's one of the first things on their minds.
Yes, definitely.
So just to start out, like what are your thoughts on affordability in our market?
So I know that people right now are really panicked because it seems like things are not affordable. And unfortunately, when we had the frenzy, things were also not affordable. So it seems like it's a lose-lose, right? But these interest rate hikes, which I know seem counterintuitive, were planned by a government that was trying to help with affordability. And I know that doesn't seem to make sense, but the idea was that if they could raise the interest rates, they could stop the frenzy of people being able to buy at any cost. And it would force sellers to lower their prices. We had a fluctuation of 20%, over 20% in our market, a fluctuation or inflation, we call it, of a 20% increase within 1 year. It's completely unsustainable. It's completely fake, if you will, that your house didn't all of a sudden become 20% more valuable just because there was a frenzy to buy it. So I think the government saw that and was worried about that and knew it was unsustainable and didn't want to crash. And so they were slowly going to raise these interest rates, hoping that sellers would pull their heads together not raise their prices just because their neighbor sold for $500,000. Then the next week they thought they should sell for $520,000. And that's what we were seeing. That's what was happening. So they were just trying to tap the brakes. Now, unfortunately, in our market, it seems that all the buyers who are waiting for the frenzy to slow down just kind of disappeared. Like they got really scared where we were just trying to soften things for them. I feel like maybe they got over scared and we've seen a real slowdown. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with interest rates now that the frenzy is definitely gone. And then it looks like normal buyers are actually gone. So I think sellers need to adjust. I think buyers need to not be afraid. If they want to hold this together, everyone's got to get back in the game and play fair.
Yeah. And I wonder if there's some hesitance just because a lot of people have like fairly recent living memory of 2008 when things did come down so far.
Definitely. And
I mean, it's a different market now. It's a whole different animal, but I think maybe some buyers are like, oh, I'm going to wait 6 months and then
And what people
see.
Don't understand is that could, if nobody buys, if everyone decides not to buy, and that happens to our market because then nobody's buying, and then, I mean, we could force the market to do that again, and it'd be very, very sad because, or we could all save it right now. Because the thing is, when things got really, really bad, that meant there were no loans. Like, you and I could have gone and got a lot in Dixie Springs, or I don't know how local your podcast will be, but a lot anywhere in Hurricane for really, really cheap. We could have, except for there was no one loaning any money.
Yeah.
Like, you couldn't have because there wasn't anyone to give you that money. And so it doesn't matter if prices come way down. If there's no more banks around that will loan you the money, then it doesn't matter how much things cost. So
yeah.
I feel like I wish I could have some really amazing exposure to say, sellers, you don't need to make this huge profit. Those days, you missed it. Mm-hmm. And buyers, you're not going to get an extremely, like, 50% off deal. Everyone just pay what the house is worth and let's hold this thing together.
Yeah.
Because there's still loan programs. Interest rates are only 6 and 7%. That's not horrible. Mm-hmm. That's normal. We pay it on cars all day long. We pay it for, it's only half what we pay on our credit cards. Like, settle down, everyone. Just go pay. If you need a house, go buy a house. If you need to sell a house, price it right, and we'll all be okay.
Yeah, I love that. And it seems like, too, the lending practices haven't been as risky as they were. Like, they have been totally overhauled. And so, you know, if people are anticipating a bunch of short sales, that's not, we're not seeing that in the bankrupt, you know, in the, we're not seeing bankruptcies, we're not seeing short sales or other things that would also drive a heavy prices, buyer's market.
We had 2008, there were people who had 2 and 3 homes, and they'd bought most of them with money they didn't ever have or didn't intend to have. They were just buying them all on speculation, buying them, never intended to live in them, just intended to flip them. Yeah, there was a completely different market.
Yeah, totally. All right. So one of the reasons I was really interested in talking to you in particular, too, is that I know you've had a lot of experience working out in the Springdale market and also just our side of the valley of Hurricane area. We have a ton and ton of vacation rentals in our area, and I really think that impacts our affordable housing market. So I wanted to hear your thoughts on what do you think about, like, trends about vacation rentals in the last couple of years, whether rental trends, investor behavior, market saturation. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so we have been a very, very popular place for the vacation rental market, and that has to do with our great weather and what the things to do here. And I think our tourism, I'm the president of the Hurricane Valley Tourism Alliance, so I watch tourism pretty closely, and the Greater Zion, whatever your thoughts are on it, they've done a great job of bringing people here. For good or bad, you know, some people don't love that, but they do help keep our taxes low. I'm just going to let that be a plug for tourism, because whenever someone pays a tourism tax, and they do, they pay high taxes on everything, their bed tax or their hospitality tax or whatever. They do pay a lot of taxes that keep our taxes lower. But they come here and then they want to come back. And when they come here, they want to stay someplace, and that's not always a hotel. So vacation rentals have flourished. People who want to own them have, the numbers have gone up, obviously. I own one and was one of the first 38 to get the original licenses, which are really hard to get these days. But we've seen a saturation too. So I think they're at the point of saturation where we're having to lower our rates, and the city has approved a whole bunch more and they're coming. So I think we'll see a lot of people who had them in their basements or had built little casitas. I think we'll see those maybe turn into long-term rentals just when they're just not seeing the returns they thought they would have. And at the first part of COVID, I saw that happen a little bit when people thought that COVID was going to shut down their vacation market. They turned them into long-term just hoping to get something. But then actually COVID, we were one of the few places that shut down, so that didn't happen. So we had more vacation rental needs. But yeah, so I had gone to an affordable housing committee meeting, and we were talking about all the vacation rentals and how it was boosting up the rental prices and home prices, and how that was, you know, counteracting the whole affordability problem or making it worse. And a guy said, well, who knows, maybe today's vacation rental is tomorrow's affordable housing. And I thought that was pretty insightful, because at the time they were allowing, cities were allowing these massive resorts being built and then turning down any kind of townhome project, any kind of multifamily project, you know, that people were like, not in my backyard. Mm-hmm. So it was really an interesting dynamic. If a vacation rental resort was being built behind your house, no one really came out to fight that. But if a townhome project that was very similar statistics, as far as the height and occupancy and all that, then hardly anyone would come and fight it. And I don't know what, you know, what is that? Mm-hmm. It's an interesting dynamic, right?
Yeah, something to think about.
Perception. I think, for sure. Because it's people coming and going that you don't know, but they have, maybe they have a little money. But anyway, so that was an interesting idea, that have we built tomorrow's housing already? They're just being packaged as vacation rentals today.
Yeah, I'm curious to see about that too, because I just was invited to go see a bunch of new ones recently, and they were saying how expensive they were going to be. And I thought, really? Is there really a market for that? I was hoping we were getting closer to saturation. So
yeah, it'll be interesting.
I think it's going to be really fun to watch.
Well, I have a lot of calls on people who want to know if they're a good investment. And my spiel is that if you come here a lot and you're looking for housing a lot because you have kids in baseball, or because you come for biking, or if you're whatever, you know, you're a snowbird who comes here for the winter anyway, and you want to supplement owning something here, then owning a vacation rental is great, because there's someone who's also helping you pay for the time you're not here. But if you're looking at it just as income, it is not the best use of your money. Try to convince people that they're not a great investment unless they're going to use them themselves. So, so as far as being an investment, and I don't know why they keep building. Are you talking about Pecan Meadows? You went over to Pecan Meadows or Pecan?
Yeah, over by the Pecan Farm.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. So many. And they were saying $1 million a piece. And I just thought,
for townhomes,
who can afford that?
No one.
I mean, yeah. And I thought, who's going to clean them all? Because I always hear people looking for cleaners here, because we do have so many vacation rentals. And it seems like, you know, if you're the owner and you live next door and you can clean it yourself, yeah, it makes sense. But to have to hire somebody if you're from out of town, it's really challenging to find.
And there are just so many already. And Airy Resort is right up the street, and they're trying to build that much more. And
Okay. Okay, so what solutions do you see as viable for the affordable housing crunch?
So
what should we do?
Yeah, so one of the solutions, I guess, is happening now, right? The demand has gone down for housing in general, so we'll see prices come down. And like I said earlier, I just hope that buyers will not be so scared that they don't take this opportunity, because if prices come down, even if interest rates are a little high, if they can take advantage of the lower pricing and then interest rates come down in the future, they can refinance that. But if they miss the lower pricing or the lower prices because of interest rates, then when interest rates come down in the future, prices will be back high. So it's really great to buy while the prices are low. I know that sounds like, yes, of course, but people are acting more scared than they should be. If you have a good job and you've been waiting to buy a house and you need a house, it's time to buy. This is not a time to pay someone else's rent. There's enough loan programs out there. Banks are interested in lending you money. Now is a great time to buy. So pricing is down right now. Now's affordable, right? Or getting more affordable. I mean, I know it doesn't look like that because the interest rates have boosted the monthly payments up.
Yeah.
But sellers, if they're not already, should be becoming more willing to work with you on pricing and then helping you buy your interest rate down and possibly paying for your closing costs. Some things that we haven't seen in a long time, that ways to get people into homes. There's also a lot of loans out there that are assumable loans. Any loan that was made up to five to 7 years ago may have a 2% interest rate, and that those loans can be assumed. If they're an FHA or any kind of government loan, those loans are assumable. FHA, RDA loans, those are all assumable loans. So assumable means a new person who qualifies for them can assume them, can take them over. So we need to find lenders who are looking into those programs, helping other new buyers assume those loans in those kinds of interest rates. Like, think about that. If you could go assume someone's loan who has a 2.5 right now, my goodness.
You think lenders would be reluctant to do that?
Yeah.
Because up front, so you need to get a real estate agent who's advocating for you and telling you to work the system.
Yes, of course they are, because they want new
loan fees. That's less money for them to loan.
Sure.
That's an interesting point. I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah, I've asked two lenders about it, and they're like, oh, those are assumable loans, but you can tell they're doing the math in their head. They're not going to get, it's going to be a lot of work, and they're not going to get the payoff.
Our house, the code for that is if it's like, you just say, that's true. Like, we could do that. We say, that's true. And then the secret is, but I don't want to.
Yes. The underlying message is that is true.
We could do that. That's true.
But who really wants to do that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you need to get creative, and you need to get an advocate on your side who really cares what's best for you and not how they're going to make money.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yes.
And that's the kind of agent you are, huh?
Yeah.
Definitely. You are.
Who cares about making money? ask my assistant, Marcia. She'll tell you we give it away all the time.
Ask about that time you bought someone a dryer.
Washer and dryer. That's my old saying. If you haven't bought a washer and dryer, are you really an agent?
I'm not a real agent yet. Yeah, I'll just look forward to that day.
That actually means you're a good agent and you haven't missed that on a contract. So the other thing is that if these cities want to help or the county wants to help, and I've been a huge advocate for this, is that it's a shared wall discount on your impact fees. So a shared wall discount, nobody offers that. I can hear this.
I can hear it again.
Sorry, a little bit of feedback. But a shared wall discount is where you're paying your impact fees for water, power, sewer, and the city or the municipality or the county, whoever's collecting those fees, would give you a discount on those impact fees because the person buying the property is sharing a wall. So that's a townhome or a duplex or whatever the case may be. And if they gave discounts for building those types of structures, then more builders would be able to build those types of structures. Right now, there is no incentive for a builder to build a duplex or a townhome with all the same impact fees as a $1 million home. And when you look around, what are people building? They're building $1 million homes because the return on investment, on if they're making 10% or 12% or 15% on their construction, so this cost plus, right? Cost plus. Well, then of course you want to spend more. You want to spend $1 million because you're making 15% on $1 million instead of 15% on 250 or 350. So people look around and wonder why there's no affordable housing. Well, because it doesn't make anyone any money.
Yeah.
And if you're not making anyone any money, then no one's going to do it.
Yeah.
So it's a really hard equation for people to figure out. But everyone has to work together to make these kind of things happen. So.
Yeah. It seems like one time we were talking and you said something about like what to do with the vacation tax. Like, is there a way they could use that help?
This was my brilliant idea. Thank you for bringing this up. So so there is a transient room tax on every vacation rental that's built and that they collect fees for, right? So when someone rents my house, they pay, the person renting pays a tax to the city of Hurricane called a transient room tax, and that tax then goes to the state and HERC, and they share it. And that tax right there is a bonus for these people who are struggling with housing, for the real people who live here. So if these people from out of the state or from out of our area are paying it, why not use that money? And it's earmarked for tourism to get more money to come. Well, we have lots of people coming. Like, why not use a portion of that to develop affordable housing?
And the state's advertising for tourism too. Like, there's other like all the way up, we have plenty of that. And I just love that idea so much because they are in direct competition for those, especially like accessory dwelling units where, you know, someone comes and wants to work at the park for the summer.
Yes.
And then there's nowhere for them
to stay, but there is somewhere for the person coming to visit the park to stay because they've turned that into a place for them, but nowhere for the person who's going to clean up after them or serve them or wait on them. Yes. It's they are in direct competition, and there's no incentive for the owner of that dwelling to make it for an employee or there's no incentive. So let's see, it's like my house, there's no incentive for it to be a long-term rental when I can get $200 a night or $220 a night from a short-term rental. There's just and there's just no incentive.
And we all kind of move out of self-interest as much as we'd like to think that we're virtuous and
I try to be virtuous caring, in a whole bunch of other ways. But when it comes to that house, like me being able to go in after each person, clean up after each person, I feel like I can mitigate the damages easier. I can keep an eye on it easier. I can keep all my stuff there, which was my stuff before I got married. Like there's a million reasons why it works better for me. If I move a long-term person in there, I don't have the right to go in there anymore. I don't get to see what they're doing anymore, like on a regular basis. And to me, it's like my baby, right? Like I block it out all the time just so I can go there. Like, and if I rent it out long-term, I don't have that right anymore. So it's very selfish of me, but it's also
all that control.
100 years old and like almost needs to be handled with kid gloves half the time. So
And I have a friend who has a vacation rental, and she was talking about how she even just likes to keep it open to the one night stays because people just come, sleep, and leave. Like it's not like when they come for a full week and kind of move in and use up the property more. So she just likes that shorter term. She said it works really well for her.
She's probably really popular because not many people will do that.
A lot of people don't.
Yeah, it's hard to clean up after just one night, but you get a cleaning fee. So anyway, it's interesting.
Helps her stay busy.
Yeah.
So what do you see any cities doing anything well that you think as far as affordable housing solutions?
I don't know what Cedar's doing. I don't know if it's because they have a college and they've just not have the demand that we do because they don't have a Costco, first of all. No.
People ask that though, right?
Oh, yeah.
How many miles is this house from Costco and Walmart and these companies?
From amenities. Yeah, that's a big amenity for some people. Mm-hmm. But they have snow as well. So they have catered more to their student base than St. George has historically. And their university used to be bigger than ours for years and years. They were a university way before we were. So they have a lot more, what I would say, affordable housing. I guess maybe because their demand was down, but if you go there, you see apartments. You can, if someone came to you today and said, I need to rent an apartment in Hurricane, would you almost laugh?
There aren't any.
There are no apartments. Those aren't even a thing.
And that's been the case for a long time because I've been married for 18 years. And when we were getting married, we were looking for an apartment and there weren't any. There were like a couple trailers to rent or we had to buy a house because that's all there was.
The only thing. You could live in someone's basement.
Yeah.
You could possibly have lived in someone's technically a casita, even though it might not at that time that those weren't even that popular. But it's kind of crazy. So we don't have apartments. Yeah. And then we won't let any apartments be built. And that's the other thing that's been driving me crazy. Mm-hmm. So my thought, and this is just my proposal, if you moved to this town or any town after 2010, let's just say 2010. So that's a good 10 years ago, right? Mm-hmm. You don't get to come to city council and have an opinion about who else gets to come. You do not get to say, shut the gate behind me.
Yeah.
Because your opinion.
Like what? A third of the people who live here?
Yes.
Yeah.
And for them to come and say, I came to this quiet town because there was a field behind my house and I wanted it to stay a field. I'm like, well, how do you think, who built your house? That used to be a field.
Your house used to be a field.
Yes, of course it did. All the houses used to be fields. And you don't get to come here unless you're going to get up at 3 a.m. with Pete and irrigate that field. And then they're going to complain about the flies and be mad that it's not a field all at the same time. Like, what do you
want? Some people just can't be pleased.
Well, they really want no more growth. And I'm like, that just doesn't work. So when someone comes up with the idea to have townhomes or, heaven forbid, an apartment building, it's just people come out in droves to oppose it. And I'm like, where do you think these kids are going to live. They're going to have to move away. It's so sad. In fact, I live up in a neighborhood and they're building some townhomes behind us. And someone came to me and said, "Do you think this is going to lower the value of our homes?" I'm like, "No, we're going to be just fine. Everything's going to be just fine." Well, it turns out that those townhomes ended up selling for way more than our little houses, more than we ever paid.
Yeah.
More than the person who asked me about them ever paid, because the house values went up so much. I'm like, "How are you feeling now? Like, these kids who you were so worried about your values, like, are paying more than you ever paid."
Yeah. And I read a report from the Garner. It's like a think tank, Kempsey Garner Institute. And it talked about how apartment buildings actually do, they give a slight advantage to the homes that are closer to them. And they, I mean, we can't figure out exactly why, but the theory is, you know, if you move somewhere, say you buy a single family home and you want your family to live close to you, that increases the demand. Like, it makes it a more specific demand of people who want to live by you. Because, you know, if my parents bought a single family home and I was young and I wanted to live by them, I would want to get an apartment that was close to them. And so all those, like, that proximity actually, it doesn't hurt the value. And if it does anything, I think it was like a 2%. So it wasn't a huge incentive, but it helped more than it hurt.
And anyone who wants to have someone stay in it, be able to stay in this town and not have to go somewhere, like your parents, even your parents who can age out and age out of their home. It'd just be nice to have somewhere smaller for them, like to these buy. People with huge yards and huge, they don't have anywhere to go if there's nothing that's affordable.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's important for all ages.
Yeah. My husband's last Utah sibling just moved outside of Utah like a month ago. Yeah. And I'm pretty,
it's devastating.
I'm pretty beat up inside about it. Like, we're going to miss them so bad. And they live like, it's like 24 hours to drive where they live. So we just aren't going to get to see them as much because they just.
And you can buy so much more for so much less.
Yeah. They bought large house on 3/4 acre, just gorgeous. So, I mean, I'm happy for them, but I'm also
have tornadoes or something though. We have to remember these things.
I mean, let's hope not, but also probably true. Yeah, it probably is.
Whenever you see
hurricanes
that,
or
everyone has natural disasters that we don't have, which is great.
Yeah.
I mean, not great.
We're lucky.
Yeah,
we're lucky to live here. Yeah. What about if you could make city policies about in-home vacation rentals? Would you focus on anything particular about those? Like, do you think they're any different from, like, the zoned ones?
I definitely do. So my husband runs one out of our basement. We bought a house and it had one functioning, so he just took that over. And when I say him, he's retired, so it became his little baby. And I didn't think anyone would rent it. He is rented 10 times more than me. But he focuses on it. He caters to him. He welcomes him. He's amazing. He's an amazing host, and it's doing really well. But I don't think the government should have any say about what you do in your home, honestly, as long as you're not hurting anyone. So those are the answer, because I don't know that we'd ever have a full-time renter down there. The fact that we can block it out and keep people out when our family's coming is very important to us. The control, again, you know, over who's there and who can come and who can't, that goes away if it's a long-term rental. So yeah, make that the answer. And it's a little bit uncomfortable to go stay in someone's home. So they're on their best behavior. These aren't the big parties, you know, that people complain about. There's not any noise. We've never had a complaint. No, the police have never been called. And we're right upstairs. So So it's a different kind of person who will even book that, right? It's like I don't even know who that person is, but they're very nice and they come from all over. And they actually kind of want that bed and breakfast experience. They kind of want to talk to you and they want to know what to do and they want to get the input on the town and what's happening and blah, blah, blah. So I fully support those. And it's a really nice extra income for someone who might be just living off a fixed income. And if they can make a portion of their house work for them and not have to move, again, we're talking about affordability. If they can make that house affordable for them, then I say all the power to them.
Yeah. And I it seems like Tocqueville's policy has been like that too, where the owner just has to live nearby. And I feel like it's worked really well over there.
It's a great policy.
Well, is there anything else related to affordable housing? Any thoughts that you have that you want to share before we wrap it up? I would love to hear.
What I want, if there are any kids listening, like, I guess there's this big push that tells kids that renting is okay. And renting is fine for a certain point, but there's nothing that builds wealth like owning your own home. And it's worth having as a goal. And it's worth the saving money for. And it's worth bypassing a car for, or whatever you have to do to start making that a goal in your life. It is what I've seen it change. Like, I bought my first house with my son for him. Like, we went in on it together. I'm not a big fan of just loaning your kids money, but we co-owned a house together where I put the down payment down so we could have a decent, you know, monthly payment, blah, blah, blah. And then when we sold the house, I got my money back out and he got the proceeds to buy the next house with his wife, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, it's a worthy goal. And I don't know why kids are not thinking in that manner anymore. It used to be a huge thing in your life to buy your first house. And some kids are like, I'll just go rent. Oh, I'll just rent over here. And they're just, I guess they're just really fluid and they just don't care. But most of the millionaires in the world are millionaires because of real estate. Real estate goes up. Real estate is an important thing to own. I love it more than the stock market, which I think is controlled by outside forces that no one is really knows who they are or what they're doing. Like, but real estate, when you own a piece of real estate, it's yours. You can control it. You can, anyway. So my whole thing is like, kids, save your money. Like, buy a house.
I love that. I was just watching, there's this Instagram that I follow. It's called Money Fit Moms. And she talks about how, like, if you and your partner can't decide, you know, you're not on the same page and one of you is wanting to pay down your mortgage, she said, just calculate your net worth. And then, because then when you're like, when you pay it down, you're like, oh, I still have this huge amount I owe. It doesn't feel like you're making much progress. But she said a lot of times it'll help to calculate your net worth and watch it, because then as it rises, you can feel good. Like, oh, yes, it's something's going up here, even if it's taken a while. So I love that you did that with your son, because that's like a mutually beneficial thing and it lets them be independent too.
I really want to tell you that there's a lot of people who just go and you're going to help your kids maybe in some way anyway if you can. It is the best way to help them. And if you can help them co-own a house with them, I wouldn't be co-sign. I would never co-sign, but co-own with them. You're on the title with them. Don't make it be their spouse. Don't make it be when their spouse has good enough credit and they can get a loan together. That's a whole different thing. But if you can co-own with them, if you die, it goes to them. If they die, it comes to you. You're joint tenants. You're a co-owner. These are some things that happen. They have to have good credit or they can't be on in that position with you anyway. Mm-hmm. They have to bring some money to the table or they couldn't be in that position with you anyway. And I just did it with my youngest son as well. Mm-hmm. And we co-own a house in Logan that he lives in. He makes the payments. And when he sells, and again, I just loaned him the down payment. And when he sells, he'll pay me my portion back. And or if he gets married and he wants to go beyond that with his wife, then they can go get on a loan together, refinance it, and pay me back. So, and I can be out of their hair. But it's so much better than co-signing because he can't do anything with that. Mm-hmm. I know with that asset, yeah. I'm on there with him, right? He can't just go put her on. He can't do anything without consulting
without you
me.
Signing.
Yeah, and it's just a really nice. Like, he's a homeowner now, and he has that kind of. He's like, Mom, I think I might put a wall up here and do da da da. I'm like, and I was there when he put the first nail in because he's been a renter his whole life. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, here's a hammer, here's a nail, put it anywhere you want. Because oh, no great. More command strips for you, buddy. Yeah. You own this place.
You own this place.
So anyway, and then my middle son wasn't quite sure where his job was going to take him, and then he had some money and bought truck, a really nice truck. So he'll get a house someday, but now he has a truck to pay off, right? Mm-hmm. So it's just a different anyway,
different phases of life, different
phases of
a
investment. Definitely. But if your kids are mindful of that at all, like, get them towards a house and it will get them on the right track. Real estate's where it's at.
It is where it's at. All right. Well, that's all the questions I have. Thank you so much, April. You're so full of good ideas.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
I love it.
Thank you for listening to the Southern Utah Real Estate Podcast with Jenny Chamberlain. I hope you'll think about subscribing and give the podcast a review if you found it valuable. If you have feedback or ideas to make this podcast better, check out my website, jennychamberlain.com, and leave me a message there.